Why don't you go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. We'll be starting off in Psalm 85 tonight. Psalm 85. You'll remember we finished up our series, mini-series on dealing with stress last week, and I told you that we would pick up with preparation for our revival meetings. And that's what I'm going to do tonight. I just felt very impressed and led of the Lord to start even tonight. You know, it's just under 40 days, if I'm not mistaken. I got it, I didn't bring my phone up, but I got it on my phone. I got a countdown going on it, and I think it's 38 days to be exact, that the evangelistic team will be coming to our church. And the Aaron Coffey evangelistic team. I know the Lord's hand has got to be on him with a last name Coffey, okay? But I am, with all seriousness, the hand of the Lord is on him, and we're greatly blessed by his ministry at the Wilds a little over a year ago. And just thankful for their coming. We're in communication, and we're getting things lined up, and praise the Lord for that. But even all that, I say all that to say this about our evangelistic team coming in. You all know, I know, that we can't schedule revival. That just doesn't happen. We can set the dates, that's fine. We can set the time and the team and the people coming, and that's all good. But the actual spiritual aspect of it, of God really bringing his people revival, it is conditional. And we do have to do some preparation for that. Let me read our verse, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and then I'd like some response from you tonight. Psalm 85, I'm going to read a very well-known verse. It's very short. I'll just read here. 85:6. 85:6, the Bible says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Now, this is probably one of the most popular verses when it comes to the subject of revival, but it does say it all. For the person or the people, in this case it was the children of Israel, seeking revival. And I want to talk a little bit about that tonight, and for the following, the Wednesdays coming, I'd like to be speaking about how we can prepare for that. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I'm so grateful that it is your desire to bring your people revival. It's not something you're withholding or making a secret. It's nothing of that nature. But Lord, there are some things that we need to consider tonight. And Lord, would you help me? I confess I can do nothing without you. Lord, there's some things I want to say tonight, and I pray that it would be received in the right spirit. I pray, Lord, that we would all just be honest. I pray that we would just be open and allow your spirit to work in our lives. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, revival is an interesting subject. Gypsy Smith, you may have heard it, was a very well-known evangelist, was asked one time, Gypsy Smith, who saw God work in mighty ways, said, what's the secret to revival? What is revival? What does it do? And this is his response. He said, go home, take a piece of chalk, and draw it around yourself. Draw a circle around yourself. And then look up to heaven and say, God, would you revive everything in this circle? And he said, that's where revival begins. It begins with you. It begins with me. And in a personal work in our hearts. And that's where it really begins. But there are different thoughts about revival. And I'd like to just ask maybe some of you, just give your thoughts. I'm not looking for necessarily a textbook answer tonight, okay? But just your perspective, okay? When you think of the subject of revival, what are some things that come to mind just from your perspective? So just give me some feedback here. Anybody? when you think of revival, some of you young people, you teenagers, think about that. What do you think when you think of revival? Yeah, Derek? Changed hearts, okay. What are some other things? Being filled with God's Spirit, what else? Right. Uh-huh. You're absolutely. Those of you that didn't hear Brock, he's reading a book on revival, and his response was, is getting back to normal, which is very true. All these answers are correct and going exactly where the direction I'm going tonight. What are some other things that when you think of revival, what do you think of? Thank you. Purification? Good. What are some other things? I just want to get, which one of you young people would be brave enough to let me know from a young person's perspective? A teenager, a college student, what do you think of when you think of revival? Do you guys want to give it a shot? Change of lifestyle? Good. What are some other things? Maybe one of you other teenagers want to give it a shot? Maybe not. Anybody else want to give me just some thoughts? Yes. Humility? Good. What are some other things? Renewal? Amen. Ma'am? Yes, ma'am. The right intellect, the right thinking. Absolutely. What else? What are some other things? These are all great. Made alive again? Revived? Absolutely. These are all great, and all of them are correct. And I just want to see what God's Word says. Well, I think the first thing a Bible student should do is just define the word of what God's Word means here. And I, too, have been reading a book on revival recently by Rick Flanders, and some of these thoughts have come from Brother Rick's exhortation and reminders in the subject of revival. But we see here that when he says here, without revive us again, that word revive is the Hebrew word chaya. And it simply means to bring back to life, to restore back to life to where it should be. In other words, there has been a drifting, there has been a weakness, a sickness. In fact, that Hebrew word, chaya, and I got kind of tickled about that word because it kind of sounds like hiya, you know. And I believe in many ways that's what the Holy Spirit does during revival. He gives us a good old hiya. I knew y'all would like that. My teenage girls always laugh at my jokes, and I appreciate that. But honestly, that word has the idea of bringing to life. And it's used in when Jacob, when he got the news of his son Joseph being alive, the Word of God says that he was revived in his spirit, his emotions, and not just his. It has also the physical aspect, not just the spiritual aspect. It has the, as Ms. Linda would say, even the intellect aspect. The thinking is revived and renewed. And it certainly was with Jacob. I think of Samson after he had slaughtered the Philistines with the jaw of a donkey. And he was thirsting to death. He was thirsty, but he got the water. And the Word of God says he was revived. He was fainting. He was getting weak. But when he got that water, that Hebrew word, chaya, was giving him the life he needs. Also, the widow's son. The widow's son had died. Elijah. There, God's servant was used to bring that widow's son back to life. And it says when he came to, he was revived, brought back to life, to normal, to where a young boy should be in his health. The psalmist David uses it here, of course, in Psalm 85, verse 6. But you go to Psalm 119, and we're not going to take time to do it tonight. But the word quicken, as you read through Psalm 119, you will see it many, many times. Same Hebrew word, same meaning. To bring back to life. And there are, the word revival is not used in the New Testament. Does that mean that revival does not exist for the New Testament believer? Well, of course it exists. Of course it's there, but there are other words that the Lord used for us. Some are synonyms for revival that we find in the New Testament. It carries the same idea, but we see awakening or awake. We do see quicken used in the New Testament. Some other things that qualify for revival that brings about the same results are things like this: draw nigh. We see yield. There's a surrender. There is submit. There is abide. There is present. Present yourself. There is denying self. There is walking in the Spirit. There is being filled with the Spirit. All those terms are synonymous with revival and the Christian's life. And, you know, if you're like me, sometimes, do you ever feel like sometimes revival is almost this like mystical idea that only a few ever reach? You ever feel that way? And it can get discouraged. It's like, man, you get all these, are these formulas and different things to get the real revival. And I think personally, we, and I say we as in just the New Testament church even today, many of God's people make revival too difficult. They make it too complicated in knowing what to do. And I think it comes right back down to, and I'm going to mention a few of these things tonight, it carries the idea of God's people, number one, having a desire. I believe that that is number one, and in order to have revival, it's got to at least be a desired action. It's a desired life that you need, that you're lacking as a church, as an individual, and it's something that you're longing for, just like we see here in this verse, that it begins with a desire. And that's probably the first question we need to ask ourselves even tonight and leading into our winter revival, do we really want it? Revival, it can be defined in many ways. I personally think seeking revival is not a pressure to perform. Don't believe that. I don't believe seeking revival is a pressure to perform, but a willingness to yield. I get frustrated, honestly, when, and I feel like I know where they're coming from, but I think it can be a little bit deceiving and basically inaccurate. But you almost get the idea, in order to have revival, you got to get everything all cleaned up in your life. And once you get everything perfect spiritually, and your life is just wonderfully perfect before God, then God will say, okay, you've made the mark, now I'm going to pour down revival on you. I do not believe that is correct. I believe that what God is looking for is for His people to be honest and to come before the Lord with a, number one, a desire, saying, God, there are some areas I'm weak in my life. There are some areas, Lord, that we are sick. Lord, there are some areas where you know I'm failing you. Lord, there, as a church, which I'll mention here in just a few minutes, there are some things where, Lord, we need life. We've gotten away and we've gotten weak, and there's the idea there that there's a desire for it. But not only that, there's a desire for it, but then there's an openness to letting God see everything that we have. I believe that's the beginning stage of revival, and I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but what I believe, and I'll summarize and we'll go more in depth, I believe revival, church, is not a person getting perfect and then God saying, okay, you've met the mark, now I'll pour my blessings. I believe it's this: a person, God's people saying, Lord, I realize this is not where it should be in my life. And Lord God, I'm opening myself up to your Spirit to do what you need to do. And when you do that, and when I do that,
quicken you. I will bring life to you. I will bring power to you. I will give you that. It's simply that abiding principle. You are coming unto the Lord as you are, with your weaknesses and with your failures and with my failures, and saying, God, I need revival. That is what we're going to do by God's grace. We're going to be honest and open before the Lord, and through that openness, you know God will bring some brokenness, because the Lord, the Holy Spirit, He will point out things. By the way, the Holy Spirit does not condemn, He convicts, and there is a difference. There is a difference. The spirit of condemnation comes from the enemy and the flesh. But God's Spirit will convict with comfort as well. He will convict for us to respond like we should. And that is the whole purpose of revival, is opening ourselves up, saying, Lord, would you do some surgery? Lord, we are struggling in this area. Perhaps it's a besetting sin that just won't get away. It's like an annoying gnat that just won't leave you alone. And you're saying, God, I'm desperate need of some new life to bring me out of this stillness or this deadness, if you will. I need to be revived. Revival is not for those that are, everything's all hunky-dory. Revival is that if you, everything's all hunky-dory and everything's just fine and everything's going perfect and you're living victoriously in every way, that's not who revival's for. Revival's for those that are seeking new life, and to be revived spiritually and victoriously in their walk with Christ. I'm going to say some things here, and I trust you, church. I trust you know my heart now. I've been here a year and 4 months, and I trust you know my heart now, but that I'm not, the things I'm going to say here are, I hope you don't come across as condemning. I hope they just come across as you seeing your pastor who is being honest about himself and about the local church congregation here. But I just want to ask you this. Do you think our church needs revival? I believe we do. I believe we do. You know, it's like the man that went to the doctor. He knew that he had been smoking for several decades, and he didn't know what the report was going to be. Well, the doctor, sure enough, after the x-rays came back, the doctors did, of course, tell him some of the things he already knew. And he said basically to the man, listen, after looking at these x-rays, I want to tell you some good news and some bad news. He said, the bad news is you are borderline of having emphysema and having lung cancer. It's not shipped up at this point, but you are just probably months from it, from my perspective. And he said, sir, you can reverse these negative results if you'll simply put down the cigarettes and just start trying to live a healthy life. He said the effects will actually reverse themselves, and you will begin to heal. Your lungs can begin to heal and possibly avoid that type of cancer. And that's exactly what God's people need to do when it comes to revival. We just need to come to the Lord knowing we got some issues going on and not knowing all the answers, but saying, God Almighty, would you just do an x-ray and tell me some things I need to do? And here are some things that I think that I viewed in my own life, and here at the church, some areas that I think we are weak in. And this is not a condemning time. This is just an observation time, okay, folks? And I'm including myself in this. But our local body, and I'm so blessed to be with a church family like this. But I believe going into this week of revival in January, we need to do some examination. Would you agree with that, church? Some areas that I feel that we need to pray, and we're going to pray here in just about 5-8 minutes, I hope, 5 to 8 minutes. Here are some things that I think, one of the first things I think of
that if we're not careful of, we can be tempted to be complacent. Do we think outside of these walls here? Our little boxed area. Sometimes we can lack vision, and I believe when revival comes, I believe there is a renewed vision for God doing mighty things. There's life. There's not any type of deadness as far as vision. God revives that vision, and you're looking for God to expand our work, not just physically. I'm not just talking about knocking out walls, if God wanted to do that, but just thinking outside who is here right now. And this is important, by the way. This is God's family. I'm not demeaning our church family, but what we need to be thinking about is, what is our church going to look like 5 years from now? What's it going to look like 10 years from now? Are we praying and trusting God to give us a renewed vision to expand? And that brings me to my next point. And please, please, my dear friend, I say this in the spirit of love and grace. And we've been working towards this, but let's be honest here tonight. Is there a family in our church family that is still attending church here that has been saved within the past few years, 5 years, or 10 years, 15 years, or 20 years? We need to be honest. We, people that have come here, perhaps mainly are either transfers, and there was, I believe, the Busey family and the Dyer family, and I know Brother Christian, I'm not sure how long ago, but there was testimonies of salvation that came into this church, and people were saved, and the families came in. But we need to ask ourselves, why is that not happening now? And it's something for us to say, Lord, if we're doing something wrong, help us. Reveal to us, Lord, what we can do differently and what we can do and to increase that. And I think we're on the right track. I think we're branching out in evangelism, but one element that's missing in evangelism is discipleship. Asking the Lord to expand our vision and mentoring and discipling others. I am very burdened about that as your pastor. I feel like I'm making some decisions in my own life to get out and do more soul winning. I read a quote the other day. I put it on my computer. Curtis Hudson quoted it, and it says, "The only alternative to soul winning is disobedience to Jesus Christ." The only alternative to soul winning, that is, talking to people about Christ, is disobedience. And I'm praying that God would revive us in our vision in that, and revive us in our commitment to evangelize. And we're going to continue to work through that and ask God to help us. I'm asking God to revive us in our love and adoration for the Savior. I read a great article by John Van Gelderen the other day, and he was talking about the failures of the Independent Baptist Church, and he hit the nail on the head. He hit it perfectly. He said, "We have done a marvelous job of having right doctrine, the great truths of the faith, and holding to them and standing on. We make much of the Word of God. We emphasize it and we stand upon it. But in the process, we have become imbalanced, and we have become harsh in our stance. We've become unkind in our stance. We've lost the compassion and the courtesy, and we've lost the grace and the love for lost people, and even for the brethren. There has been a lacking of that. And I believe we need to be revived." You know, we come to the Lord with honesty and openness, do we not? Can I say this? Goes along with some of the things I'm saying that I've asked the Lord to reveal in my own heart and life. This is not me picking on anybody in the church. This is us. This is us. Because the Bible does not separate us. We are one body. Amen, church? We're not here pointing fingers. I'm not here trying to think of different groups. We're here with one body. We are together in this. But this is another area that I'm asking God to revive us and help us not to be this way. But I sense, and even in my own heart, that there is a thread of legalism in our church. And thankfully, I'm glad it's not the legalism that we do read of much in the New Testament that refers to people that say you have to work your way to heaven, or that you have to have good works to get to heaven. But you know what can be just as awful and just as condemning to the even to the believer is teaching that not only do you have to not only can you not work your way into heaven, we know that, but then there's the tendency to say, well, you have to do certain things to be a certain amount of spirituality. You have to perform a certain amount of things to be at a spiritual level. And folks, I believe that we need to be balanced in that. I believe that we need to evaluate that, making sure our standards as people and as a church are not in an unbalanced way. That we're not putting so much focus on the outward image of the person that we lose sight of the individual's heart. Because that is what the Lord is after. And if God gets a hold of hearts, we don't have to worry about anything else. God get a hold of people's hearts, their hearts will be directed towards Him. You know, let's be honest, folks. I want people to feel free, and I'm gonna talk about this more in depth so you know exactly where your pastor stands. But I'll say this: I believe that ladies ought to be able to walk in our church and wear what they believe God wants them to wear, and to be able to worship without worrying about what anybody thinks of them. I believe that as long as her daddy or her husband, and they're in agreement, which I believe that's biblical, I believe they should not have to worry about one bit on what they believe they can come worship their Savior without being condemned by another person's standard. Because that's what legalism is. It is when a person has a standard in their own life, and then what they are tempted to do is to press that standard on everyone else. And that is unbalanced, and that is unbiblical. It has to be a Spirit-led standard. Now, we're going to have institutional standards. I mean, you go and work for any secular force, you work for the fire department or the police department or the Jackson EMC, wherever, you're going to have uniforms you wear, you're going to be expectations. There's going to be that element with our leadership and our church. Of course there always is. But I'm just talking about the basic element of people coming to our church to participate in activities, to worship, whether it be the 11 a.m. service or the 6 p.m. service. I'm saying there doesn't need to be an emphasis on what people are wearing. I want people to be led by God's Spirit. And I don't want to be holding a magnifying glass over every single person that walks in our door, and we are not going to do that. And I believe with all my heart, church, that we just need some revival in this area. We need to ask God to help us to be balanced. And by the way, let me go on record, there is nothing wrong with high standards. And if you're not careful, there'll be the other side, that people that look at people with higher standards, they will look at them with a bitter spirit. And you know what we ought to do as God's people? We ought to respect each other's standards. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. When we can come together and agree that, hey, you may not see that standard of preference the same way I do, and then just agreeing, oh, I sense God's Spirit working right now. We need to respect that. That comes from the power of the Holy Ghost. That's revival, friends. We get so focused and caught up on each other and what everybody else is doing when we ain't got the time to ask God to search our own hearts and go out there and reach a lost and dying world. I'm going to do more of a study on that. But I do believe that it can hinder revival. And I do believe that we need to ask God to help us in that. And to be balanced in that. You know, another area I think of when I think of our church is mentoring our young people. These teenagers and even our little ones. And I'm so guilty of this. God has dealt with me, and I'm being transparent with you, even with my own children, little Marianne and Thomas Brent. If we're not careful, church, this is what we'll do. Because we do have a lot of resources, do we not? We have camp. We have teen activities. We have teen rallies. We have a lot of things. And if we're not careful, we have Sunday school classes. And we have all these different things set up. And this is what will happen. We have Bible studies. But if we're not careful, this is what we'll do. I believe we'll just pretty much put our children off to all these categories. They're good. They're getting taught. But we use as an excuse not to pour ourselves into them. Mentoring them. Spending time with them. Instead of me just relying on people to teach my daughter and my son and sending them here and there and trusting all that to work out, instead of taking the time to say, Lord God, I want to spend some intentional, personal time with my child to know their heart, to know their needs, to love them and lead them and pray with them. And I believe we need a revival in that. And I believe a lot of times our young people are tempted to have resentment because all we want to do is force an outward appearance without trying to build an inward, intimate relationship with their hearts. And we need revival in that. You've been so gracious listening to me. I feel like you might let me say a couple more. Would that be okay? You know I say these in the spirit of love. I'm not fussing at you tonight. I'm just trying to be like that doctor was in that office. The only difference between me and that doctor is that doctor probably didn't have the same lung problems. Well, listen, that's not the case for me. I have the same problems that we're talking about. And we are before the Lord going to say, God, help us in these areas. But the other one is this. I believe there was a spirit of revival that took place here in this church 10 years ago or so, where God moved upon this congregation and there was an openness and there was an honesty, and then prayer meetings broke out. And I believe, I don't know what's happened, but I believe the enemy has somehow deadened that spirit for prayer. Prayer as a church, there was, from what I hear, there was dozens, not dozens, but over a dozen men that would meet in this auditorium late on Wednesday nights and would cry out to Almighty God and down in the conference room and just burdened, seeking God, desiring revival. There was a group of ladies, at least a dozen, that would meet from time to time. And what has happened over the years is it's dwindled down. And you see, that's a perfect image of a need of revival. There needs to be life brought to that. Not a manipulative life. Not a manufactured life by the pastor saying, you need to reinstitute those things. No, it's just allowing God's Spirit to revive us. To want that. And we're going to pray about that and ask God to do what He wants in and through us. I pray that the Lord would give us the strength we need in these things. And I'm sure there are other areas that God is going to reveal to us. But again, I'm not here to tell you how to fix all those things. We're at the beginning stages, folks. I just believe there needs to be a spirit of openness saying, Lord, we're sick. We don't have it all together. Everything's not fine. Lord, we need help. And church, I believe if we'll do that, I believe God will send us revival. I believe, as it was mentioned out here, the spirit of humility, a spirit of willingness to let God change us to who He wants us to be, with the right kind of focus, and to be balanced, and to be experiencing revival. I believe this, church. I believe that we'll experience revival. I believe families will be added to this church as a result. And I don't mean just any family. I'm so thankful for the families that have transferred into this church. I praise God for that. People relocating and finding a good Bible-believing church that loves the Lord and joining up, that's awesome. But hey, you know what we need to be praying for and to God to show us as a way of evidence that we are seeking revival? Where are the families that we're winning to Christ? Where are the new believers coming into our auditorium here that don't have it all together? And maybe won't have it all together for years to come, but that are coming in our pews and feeling at home here and not feeling like they're going to be condemned because they don't have it all together. Folks, we need God to revive us in that and to see those type of people come here and grow in grace and us to love them and let them be sanctified by the Holy Spirit, but not allow the Lord. We want to let the Lord do it and not us. You know, I believe that will be a result. I believe God will quicken us. I believe He will revive us. And I did not want to say all those things tonight, but the Lord said, no, you're going to say them. I said, okay, Lord. I don't really want to, but Lord, but because really I see myself in every one of these categories as needing some balance, needing some renewal, needing some revival. And I believe tonight, as we break up in prayer, why don't we say with the psalmist of verse 6, will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And where are we going? What's revival going to look like? We'll talk about that in the days ahead. But if I could give you just a couple quick statements, it's this. It's unity. It's humbleness. It's renewal. All these things that were mentioned out here, that's what it is. And God will do that as we yield to Him and as we allow Him to do exactly what He wants to do. I want to do this. It'll be a little different tonight, but I think concerning the content of tonight's message, I believe it would be appropriate. Here in just a moment, I'm going to ask the men that are physically able to come and join me at the altar down here at the front pews. And we're going to, here in just a few minutes, we're going to pray. And I'm just going to ask one of you men to lead, and then I will close us, but I want you men to feel led to pray by God's Spirit as you will feel led. As you would be prompted by God's Spirit and our dear sisters in Christ who can commune with God just as easy as any man. You have just as much access, you have just as much liberty, and just as much power on your life. I would ask you to pray along with us in your hearts to the Almighty God and pray about these things that we're seeking for the Lord to do in our church. Let's don't pretend that our church is all honky-dory, folks. Let's don't pretend our families are all honky-dory and we got it all together, because let's be honest, we don't. I believe that is the first step of a spiritual, Holy Spirit revival that God will give us.